The Man in Line with Andy Witt.
Andy Witt, the nation's station, makes radio.
Open line on Man in Line today through till 1. Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. WhatsApp on the same number or email studio at manxradio.com. Right at the end yesterday, we were talking about the artificial intelligence expert the government's trying to recruit for £100,000. Some people say that's a lot of money in the world of artificial intelligence. Those sort of numbers are bandied around an awful lot. So maybe, well, do you think it's best that we get the right person for the government on our behalf to investigate what it is artificial intelligence is going to do for us? Any thoughts on this? How will artificial... Maybe you're involved in artificial intelligence yourself. Maybe. And there's all sorts of talk about the jobs that artificial intelligence will just get rid of. I mean, will just replicate straight away without the annoyance and the encumbrance of having to hire, you know, a human being. So is it right that the government gets it absolutely spot on for us for £100,000? £100,000 for that. Text, email, call and WhatsApp. And yesterday we were also talking about the Manxman came up and what it is that we've bought and what it is that it's going to happen. And also the fact that yesterday she was having a marine evacuation system, if you like, applied several times. And, of course, she's not yet a year old. They said it was scheduled maintenance. Anyway, the Manxman looks great, says Desmond. Well equipped inside, but forgot about asking the people who have to work on the boat. Will it sail in high winds? Will she sail in high winds? Well, we've had challenges before with the operation of the steam packet. I remember when I first started doing Manx Radio's Man in Line, 1998, the Ben McCree had just arrived. Uniformly, everybody hated the Ben McCree. Couldn't talk about the King Ori enough. And then over 25 years, Ben McCree did sterling service. The girl of my heart did sterling service. Now she is but a side note in the future of the steam packet. And who knows whether or not we're actually going to have the Ben McCree in the future. Also, the wind turbines and many, many, many calls after the show and also notes after the show about the curlews. The curlews live on the moorland and also live at the shore as well. So curlews can be in both places. Desmond said, if windmills are so cost-effective, you find this. These aren't my words, by the way. The people who are against wind turbines call them windmills, and the people who are for wind turbines call them wind turbines. It's a game of kind of nomenclature to and fro. But anyway, Desmond says, windmills, if they're so cost-effective, show us the figures, not just the superficial costs that the sales pitch is. That's from the manufacturer to disposal, maintenance and insurance and any other hidden costs. Desmond, I would imagine that's going to be fairly difficult to do. Because not many wind turbines and wind farms have come to the end of their life. So, and you know what accountants are. You know what accountants can do with balance sheets. So all I will tell you is that at the moment, the latest figure from Gridwatch, and this is just for the UK, but the Gridwatch is a website that has and monitors fuel-type power generation production. And the latest update was at 5 to midday today, and it tells you that in the UK, 13% of electricity was generated by nuclear, 9% by gas, CCGT, 6% by biomass. They're burning, biomass is wood that they burn at various power stations. 33% of electricity generated in the UK, as monitored by Gridwatch, was generated by wind. 11.34 gigawatts of electricity. By comparison, 4.71 gigawatts of solar and 0.4 gigawatts of coal. So, wind's working fairly well at the moment. So, on both sides, you kind of pays your money, you take your choice. Some people don't like the idea of wind turbines on the Isle of Man, although offshore, that's okay. But it's the onshore wind farm that is exciting most comment. And mostly against. Anyway, if you want to get involved, text, email, call and WhatsApp. Brian's first with us today. Hi, Brian.
How are you today? I'm pretty good myself.
Jolly good. Well, it's another day above ground, Brian.
It is. When you get to my age, that's a bonus. I since my last couple of calls, I've had quite a remarkable response, more than I've ever had in the past. And quite a lot have been significantly wealthy people. And it's led me, they're all in agreement with what I have had to say in the past. And generally, the consensus of opinion is we are in trouble, both at local level politics and national level politics, because our politicians are not up to the job. And Onken, as I've repeated time and time again, is in a mess unless they start trying to, A, concentrate on the job in hand that they were elected to do instead of getting outside of their field like Braddon has. And rumours gone round now that they're talking about spending millions on Onken Park, which is ludicrous. But at national level, we are desperately in need of getting the civil service sorted out. And I'll issue you a challenge. Tell me one element within government that's going well. Electricity, we've got all this move over to non-fossil fuels, electric cars, electric heating your houses, a power station that's getting to the end of its life and no plans for anything to replace it, the dearest electricity in Europe as far as I can see, and inefficiency wherever you look. But then we've got the hospital and Manx Care. You can't get a dentist. The roads, appalling state, and they're raking in more and more money from road tax. And, of course, that's not all spent on the roads. That's just squandered and flitted away everywhere. Douglas Corporation, Promenade a mess. Name me one element of government that's performing well. I really am concerned, and a lot of other people are as well. Now, the problem that I can see, we're digging this financial pit as we see our reserves disappear rapidly. And at some stage, somebody's going to have to pay the piper. And then our pseudo-communist government, who always come out with, well, it's the wealthy that should pay, and now they're crippling the sort of mid-range, are going to target the wealthy people because they are a very easy target. And all the ones that I've spoken to recently are all planning or having contingency plans in case they see writing come on the wall in the near future to get off this rock.
And do you think those people who are advocating that wealthy people should shoulder more of a burden, do you think they don't know that, Brian?
Well, I can't understand why they keep bleating on about it. You know, there is a very fine balance here. And if you've ever read any of the financial pundits who have pointed out the history in the UK, how taxation had killed the car industry and the shipbuilding industry and just about every industry that we ever had. You know, we're very, very fortunate that we've got anything left. But the Isle of Man is in a very vulnerable position with the lowest level of reserves that we've had in my lifetime. I am appalled when I hear all of the people that are coming up with methods of saving the planet that involve collecting milk cartons. Well, if anybody is recycling and then jumping on a plane to go to South America for a fortnight, I've got to say, you're a hypocrite. You know, the major problem that's facing this planet is overpopulation. You only have to go onto likes of Google Earth and view the planet from a few miles out, and all you can see are highways and cities. And if you go onto any of the sites that show you aircraft that are in the air at any given time, it scares you to death. If we don't get control of the population, then you can collect all the wind energy you want. It's not going to make a ha'porth of difference. Not that I'm saying we shouldn't be doing things that are going to reduce our carbon emissions, but the decision-making process has to be carefully thought through. Now, as far as I can see, not one of our politicians has any qualification or understanding of general physics, because, you know, some of the statements and some of the proposals that are put out there just beg a belief. We have to pull this into line, and we have to pull it into line quickly. And some of our better councils, Douglas, how can Douglas do what they've done on Douglas Promenade, reduce the lighting, cut everything back to bare bones, and then hit us with a rate increase? You're going to hear a big uproar because the rates bills haven't gone out yet, and the implications in Braddon haven't really been understood by a lot of the population. But that's a horrendous situation to be in the predicament that Braddon's in, and I can't see a way out of it. I really can't.
That was going to be my next question there. So let's face forwards then. Let's look away from the rocks and try and navigate away. How does the Isle of Man do that?
Well, first of all, we've got to get people into politics that are thinking people and not populist politicians. I mean, we need to trim our government because the decision makers need to be accountable, and they're all standing in the crowd pointing at somebody else. I reduced the membership in Onchan from 10 plus the rural down to a total of 7. One of the acts that I did whilst I was in Onchan commissioners. 7 is too many. When you hold an election and people are getting in on by default, then you're going to have to do something about it. Really, we need people who will stand up and argue their corner and be held accountable when they get things wrong. Now, you were mentioning there £100,000 for your IT man. Well, they paid me £100,000 for the year I worked for Albert after the Mount Murray fire to sort that out. And that was in 2014. If you're going to get people who can do the job, you're going to have to pay them. But don't pay them for not doing the job. We've got a civil service that is full of people who have progressed through incompetence to high levels, who have no understanding of the concept of money saving, who are going to walk away with lump sums and horrendously high pensions for doing nothing. You know, it's all on performance and it's hard work. And people who are prepared to study, and I'm not talking about now at university, I'm talking about if you go into politics and you are put in a department, if I say to you, Andy, you are taking over the airline and you are a pilot tomorrow morning. I would expect you to read a book on it tonight and try and learn something about it. I mean, they're there making comments that are passed down by the officers, and the officers have got one agenda only, and that's self-serving.
So how do, I mean, at the moment, and just, I've had a note in this from a lady called, it's Chrissy. Chrissy, who just said, but isn't it dangerous to put decisions in the hands of those people who pay no price for being wrong? And sometimes that happens in government. The people who get things wrong pay no, there's no pecuniary loss to them. So, I mean, what do you do if you're putting responsibility on people who are in those positions? What I'm saying is, in private business, in business, in commerce and industry, there are penalties for getting things wrong, but that doesn't happen.
Absolutely, and you have to introduce it, and you have to hold them accountable in some way. There are people within government in senior positions that have cocked up throughout their working life. Unfortunately, there are people in government that have been elected on the strength of their cock-ups, because they can smile and have photographs with babies. I mean, who is that down in Castletown having photographs taken by the press, putting daffodils in potholes? You know, a politician, they always say, they're there for the photo opportunity at the opening of a dustbin. Just keep putting your face across, keep smiling to the people, or we'll do what so many do that go and help out at the old person's complex or wherever. And, oh, he's a nice fella, let's put him in.
So whose fault is this, Brian, then? Is it the politicians who get elected? Is it the people who elect the politicians, or the people who don't stand to be politicians? The people, you know, there are people, and let's face it, you aren't as young as you used to be. And how old were you when you were first elected to public office?
Oh, gosh, I was in my 40s when I first stood for an election, because I felt strongly. And the election that I stood for was to be a school governor. And we got to, I'd put my name forward, the nomination papers were in, we were all marching towards the election. And then I was invited to a meeting. And this meeting was to tell me what's expected of me as a school governor. And the first thing they told me, there was a remuneration package, and quite a handsome one. I'd put my name, I didn't know there was any money in it. I had an interest in the school. All of a sudden, the penny dropped. That's why so many people were on the Board of Education, because you were getting so much per meeting, or paid for a whole morning if you only had a meeting with the head for 10 minutes. I mean, we have to stop this and get control, and the people are the ones that are at fault. It's the people of Braddon that put the politicians in Braddon that has now left Braddon with a £10.5 million debt.
Okay.
And it's the people of Braddon that will have to pay that.
All right, we appreciate that, Brian. Thanks for that. It wasn't the most uplifting chat I've ever had, but there's some truth in there. Thanks for calling today.
Okay, Andy, you take care, my friend.
All right, 26 minutes past 12. Just wonder what you think about this. Money's tight. I mean, there's no drawing a veil over that. Money is tight compared to, I don't think it's quite as tight as it was back in 1984. When there were 2,000 people out of work and about £1 million in the coffers, and the government was paying welfare bills month to month. So we're not there. I don't think we're anywhere near there. The Isle of Man is in a far better position than it was back then. But the financial tide has gone out. Thanks also to Ronnie, who just dropped a note in just to say, well, they're sending out the wrong message to business. Of course, now certain banking businesses and large retailers are facing a tax increase from 10% to 15%. It'll be introduced in respect of the 2024-25 tax year. That starts next week. The 15% rate is going to apply to banks and retailers whose profits would otherwise be subject to a top-up tax outside the Isle of Man under the OECD's Pillar 2 Global Minimum Tax Initiative. Pillar 2 Global Minimum Tax Initiative. And a new tax has been introduced, meaning that companies making money from petroleum extraction in the Isle of Man and territorial waters will be subject to a 20% tax. For the first time since 2010-11, income tax is going up. From April, the high rate of personal income tax is 22%, up from 20%. So tax is going up on the Isle of Man. So if you're listening outside the Isle of Man and you think everybody's paying no tax, wrong again. I did mention if you have £7,000 and an umbrella, the government would like to hear from you. M & Co. Do you remember M & Co in Market Street under St Thomas's School there? It's available for a pop-up shop for TT Fortnight. It's available Monday 27th of May to Monday 10th of June inclusive. Offers of rental are expected in the region of £7,000 plus VAT, inclusive of rates and utilities. If you want to rent M & Co from the government, propose use. You'll have to tell them what it is, name and address and company and this, that and the other, and your rental offer. And you've got until Friday the 26th of April to contact the commercial team at the Public Estates and Housing Division at the Sea Terminal in Douglas. And the reason I say you'll need an umbrella, if you're renting M & Co for £7,000, it should be noted, say the Public Estates and Housing Division, that the roof isn't watertight and the department will not accept responsibility or liability for water damage to stock. So if you're thinking of offering tropical fish, then maybe £7,000 for that fortnight, if you want that. £7,000 plus VAT and the roof leaks.
The Loganair Easter sale is now on. Fly from the Isle of Man to Manchester, London Heathrow and London City Airport. Save up to 15% off over 1 million seats across the Loganair network. Book by 2nd April, travel from 26th April. Subject to availability, exclusions apply. Visit loganair.co.uk. Your journey, our joy.
Manx Glass and Glazing can undertake replacement double glazing windows and doors for customers, support for which may be available through the government's Green Living Grant Scheme. To improve your home and save money on making it more energy efficient, call the Manx Glass and Glazing team on 674 573 or visit the showroom on Snugborough Trading Estate. An approved contractor by Construction IOM, Manx Glass and Glazing can transform your home with government grants potentially available. Terms and qualifying conditions apply.
Staying younger looking, it's our primary objective. The holy grail of skin aesthetics. But it's not any one product, it's a state of mind. At the Tracy Bell Clinic, it's our passion and desire to innovate, to reinvent, recreate, reimagine everything over and over again. Are you ready for a change? Try our exclusive Alma Laser Skin Treatment. The results are remarkable. Call the Tracy Bell Clinic on 613 323 for a consultation.
Quality, economy, that's what we're all about.
Imagine relaxing in your new luxury bathroom with the latest bathroom suite, or how about a stunning wet room with contemporary designer tiles? Turn your dreams into reality at a price you can afford at Pacesetter. Visit the Pacesetter Bathroom and Tile Showroom, Harris Terrace.
That's what we're all about.
EVF, fueling the island and fueling you, with a great range of fresh foods and everyday essentials at our filling stations, and always great offers too. Ellen Vannin Fuels.
Manx Radio and Tells Skips have got together for a long winning weekend. Check out our Facebook page over the Easter Bank Holiday weekend, count how many Easter eggs you can find, then listen out for the window of opportunity and text your name and answer to 166177. Then on Tuesday, tune in to see if you've won a £200 voucher to spend in 1886 Bar and Grill. And if you need a skip to spring clean your home or garden, just search Tells Limited or give them a call. The Easter Bank Holiday Long Winning Weekend with Tells Skips and your nation station, Manx Radio.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
It's 29 minutes ahead of one on Max Radio. Regarding yesterday's calls on wind turbines, this is Steve on 806. The number one overwhelming threat to ornithology and other animals is climate change caused by burning fossil fuels. If anybody dresses it up, that's just NIMBYism, as environmental concern is laughable, says Steve. AI will make you money. No person anymore will be able to save their skin. So embrace, educate, and prosper, says 015. Who's probably on the computer now making money on AI. You were talking about Wi-Fi yesterday. I was in Bilbao in Spain at the weekend on my way home, and the whole city, wherever you were walking, public transport, restaurants, shops, there was free Wi-Fi all the time in Bilbao. The Isle of Man seems not to be able to do that. Has anybody noticed how many million-pound houses have come onto the market recently? I think it's worrying, says Julie in Port St. Mary. It appears that when the island most needs wealthy people, one might assume that they will move elsewhere. The Isle of Man is in a financial downward spiral, says John. Mr. Allinson, Dr. Allinson, needs to stop and think, and he and his colleagues are financially crippling our reserves on the pretext of the island plan. Our sovereignty and independence will be dissolved if we go bankrupt. Big John, it's a worrying thought, isn't it? Well, as I say, we're not there yet. We're nowhere near there. And we've been worse off in the past, but it is just something worth thinking about. Didn't take long. I wonder when, who'd be the first? David, 127. Forget artificial intelligence. I think the government needs to appoint a head of normal intelligence. Well, we'll see. Manx Telecom are wanting to roll out fibre optics on Balaf in Andrus. Ballaloch in Andrus on this estate. We don't have any overhead cables at all. The only thing we have are lampposts. And these massive poles they want to put up will be an eyesore, so Manx Telecom can do whatever they want. Our government gave them £10 million to Manx Telecom to put fibre optic around the island, and surely they should be doing it properly. Is there nobody in government capable of standing up to these companies? This isn't going to help our beautiful island one little bit. I'm a very proud Manxman, says Robin. I can't believe what damage the MHKs are doing to the island. We mustn't forget the real culprits, the civil servants. Thank you for that. Good to hear from you, Rob. And Eddie's on now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, Andy. All right, mate?
Yeah, good. Thanks. Yourself?
Yes, a little bit better, yeah. Getting better. Yep. I was going to come on just to say to Bonzo that if he got in touch with some ornithologists, he would realise that the curlews do nest on the heathland and moorland. So, but some of your listeners have already done that for me. Thank you.
Straight onto us. They were straight onto us, Eddie.
I know. Yeah, I've got something to send to you. You know, I keep saying every day I've been studying wind farms for the last couple of years, increasing the knowledge on it, and I sort of entice everybody else to do the same. But I found out another little thing which a lot of people are not really aware of. Neodymium and cerium oxide are two more chemicals and elements that everybody uses but doesn't realize, you know, where they come from and everything, the mine of them. And I've been reading a BBC Future article about it, which is absolutely mind-boggling. But the one thing I really get out of the article and the feature is that in this part of the world we have health and safety, but in certain parts of the world we don't. For instance, China and Outer Mongolia. Well, in a part of Mongolia there's an actual Batol Lake, and the lake is man-made. It's as far as the eye can see, and there's a dozen pipelines all pumping into it at once, and it is the byproduct from all of the things that we use every day. And the relevance of all this, that for me anyway, is that the turbines that they use for for the wind turbines, excuse me, they not only use the balsa wood from the forest, which are cutting down 2 football fields a day, they're not only painted with toxic so-and-so, 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 everything about them, even the motors, right, they use these two chemicals for their magnets. And then somebody else came on to say about the amount of oil that they use. Up to now, I'm up to 29 reasons why they're not green. And I keep emphasizing this. Why on earth do we keep going along this same line? You had a guy on a few minutes ago, Brian. Absolutely great to listen to that. Everything he said was more or less true. One thing that stood out to me was the fact that we can't afford, you know, the government's eating away at the funds and so on. Is the general public aware that if we go down the line of wind turbines onshore, excuse me, still got a bit of a throat, not only do we not get any power when there's no wind or when there's too much, and we will have to then look for something else, link or gas or God knows what else, but initially, over the period of about 4 or 5 years, £1.5 billion it will cost the taxpayer of the Isle of Man to put these things up. Were they aware of that? They always have been issued with at the moment is if they put 5 up here, it'll cost about 35 million, I mean. So there's a numerous things just for everybody to look at again. And I'll tell you what, a lot of the young people are starting to listen to some of these things because it's their future. So there's a few more. I'll send you this BBC article, right, and you can have a look for yourself at the everyday use, you know these the screens on your mobile phones. Those are the chemicals that you use for these screens. The colouring in the glass, you name it. Magnetism in your mobile phones, in your cars. The electric car is one of the biggest users of cerium. There you go.
I look forward to that.
It goes on and on and on, doesn't it?
All right. Well, send me that, Eddie. I'll certainly take a look. Thanks for being with us.
Pleasure.
All right. 21 minutes now before one. On Monday, you may have heard our 60th anniversary snippet was Marion Heaton, who used to, family used to own the Camera Obscura. Today, every Wednesday after Man in Line, we reprise some of the greatest Kelly's Eye programmes looking at architecture around the Isle of Man. So we did the Camera Obscura on Monday. I thought it might be nice to get Peter Kelly on for Kelly's Eye on the Camera Obscura. That's after today. Here's a note in from this one is in, I think it's from William. Is it William? The story about the steam packet, the delay on the steam packet signing the lease as they won't pay the valuation as it eats into the bonus pot. Is that true? What are the annual bonuses being paid to the directors and senior management in the steam packet company? Of course, this is an arm's length company whose main shareholder is the Treasury, i.e. the taxpayer. So negotiation of the sea services agreement to get rid of the Ben McCree not paying dividends to shareholders, cutting costs by staff living on board, upping prices, increasing profit margins, not paying the lease price for the Liverpool terminal. Is this driven by maintaining high levels of directors' bonuses? Well, we can't find out because the steam packet company is not able to be accessed through a Freedom of Information request. We simply don't know. Now, there's a long and fine history of directors at the steam packet in the past profiting from the steam packet to a great extent. There was a management buyout between Jim Sherwood Sea Containers and Macquarie Bank that netted some of the management buyout, shall we say, upwards of £80 million. So perhaps we can find out, is the fact that costs are being kept down on the steam packet, is this to return money to the shareholder, to Treasury, or Well, where's it going? Tony's on now. Hi, Tony.
How are you doing, Andy?
Good, thanks.
Interesting program today. I want to put forward a good suggestion. I think it's a good suggestion anyway, that will reduce our exposure that the Dr. Allenson keeps running around telling us we should look at, and he wants to spend, take all our money and put it in a bank or something, spend it somewhere so we can recover more money. Why don't we just cut now the gold-plated pensions for every person in the legislature to start with, and then all future employees of the government will not receive a gold-plated pension, in other words, a final salary pension, and that will reduce our exposure dramatically. The other side of that is, how do you incentivize people? It's easy. You do what millions of companies out there do. If they perform well and they do what they're supposed to do, you give them a bonus. Now, I don't think Treasury will be in favour of that because they're part of the problem. Everybody in the Treasury who's earning £100,000 plus will be getting a massive pension increase. With everything that goes on, every person that gets employed on £100,000 plus, part of that is just their salary. What about the pension contributions? There's a massive amount of money in the pension pot, which is going to be paid in the future. Well, if you stop increasing that mountain, you might stand a chance of catching up. Just a thought.
So do you think we should, what do you mean, we should freeze people's pensions now or continue to pay people the pensions that they're earning? Because we live under the law of contract in the Western world on the Isle of Man. So where does it start and finish? Where does this new regime start?
I want every MHK to stand up at the next election and say, I do not want a final salary pension. I want a regular pension, just like Bill Bloggs the plumber. A state pension. And that's the contribution that the state will have to make for my pension. Because once you do that, then they won't like the fact that all of the civil servants are still on a gold-plated pension. And they will do something about it. Right now, the people governing this island, which is basically all of the departments, not the MHKs, they all are effectively getting paid an excess pension. We're contributing to their pension pot, which is gigantic. Because he keeps saying, well, we haven't got enough money for the pension in future. That's a forward actuarial projection based on them keeping their pensions. So the first thing to do is all MHKs need to sign on and say, okay, I don't need all this extra money. Because when they got their pay increase 3 years ago, 4 years ago, they decided to award themselves a massive pay increase. So they're all paid equivalent massive amounts of money compared to what they were on, their pension would have gone up by the same amount. So they're part of the problem.
The trouble is, this remuneration packages that are in place and tied to the civil service spine and what have you, this was all instigated when money was no object, and when money really was no object. Do you remember 20-odd years ago when you couldn't move for money in the Isle of Man? All the big infrastructure projects were there. But the financial tide has gone out, Tony, now. Mm-hmm. So, what happens if the financial tide comes back in and money's no object in, say, 15 years' time? What do we do then?
Then you give them a high bonus. It's as simple as that. They have to work for what they earn, and they have to be responsible for what they do. So if they are in a situation where they come up with a wonderful idea that saves a lot of money, then they need a reward. But that's not without a stringer tied to it that says performance is key. I guarantee you every one of these departments has got KPIs, key performance indicators. But that won't affect their pension. They probably get bonuses as well as their pension, but their pension is the problem. We are basically paying people in the government to do a job. And that includes all of the civil service. Now, I think anybody in the civil service who's got an agreement, we'll honour. But anybody, including all the MHKs that are coming in at the next election, they have to say, I don't want a civil service level pension. I am going to take a normal pension, and that is it, because I'm paid over the odds anyway for what I'm doing. And that way you will start to change the psyche that we can almost basically go away with a massive pension just by sitting here for 30 years. I think it's an absolute disgrace that nobody has suggested this before in government. I keep getting on and suggesting it, but nobody takes any notice. But they need to do something about the future build-up of pensions, which they're not doing, because they are part of the problem. They are the ones that are benefiting from it.
Okay.
So how do you expect them to say, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't want to have that money. They won't, because they're in it for themselves to a large extent. And if they're not, then what are they losing? They're getting handsomely paid for doing a job. And, you know, that would be a starting point to reduce our exposure to this pension mountain that keeps getting higher. And it will get even higher when you employ somebody, so-called AI specialist, whatever he is, whatever that is, for £100,000. Mm. How have they got the temerity to even advertise that a couple of weeks after they put a budget out and says, oh yes, Mr. Plumber and Mr. Builder, you're all going to get taxed extra because I can't make the numbers add up. And then they go out and say, we're going to hire another one for $100,000.
All right. Okay. All right, Tony. Thanks for calling.
Do take care. See what happens.
All right. Thanks for calling today. There's a problem in Peel Harbour at the moment. Coast Guard teams are called out to Peel this morning. A fishing boat sank. It was a derelict vessel in the process of being broken up. The contractors were working on it yesterday. Crew members confirmed when they were on scene that they put a boom deployed around the vessel to stop any debris spreading. It's hoped that the boat in Peel Harbour can be refloated today.
At Isle of Man Energy, we're excited to offer our customers the Alpha E-Tech Efficient Hybrid Gas Boiler and Heat Pump Combination. This state-of-the-art hybrid boiler causes minimal disruption to your existing heating system, making it simple to upgrade. Priced from just £65 a month and with 6-year warranty as standard, which can be extended to 10 years, what are you waiting for? Register for a free consultation at islandmanenergy.im.
Just Care Products for mobility solutions.
As the island's exclusive stockists of the Cozy Feet footwear range, Just Care Products have a wide choice of Cozy Feet shoes and slippers for you to try. Highly recommended by healthcare professionals, come and try a pair of Cozy Feet today at Just Care Products. Find us behind B&Q, or for more information, give us a call on
627 177. Ramsey Garden Centre is open every day over Easter. And with being 3 times larger than last year, it is well worth a visit. New choices for indoor and out. Visit Ramsey Garden Centre on Albert Road or check out our Facebook.
The Camera Isle of Man Beer and Cider Festival is at the Villa Marina from Thursday the 11th to Saturday the 13th of April. It's the biggest event of its kind on the island, featuring over 120 real ales, ciders, perries and fruit wines, plus great food too. Tickets on the door subject to availability, or get them now at villagaiety.com or call the Welcome Centre on 600 555. The 11th Camera Isle of Man Beer and Cider Festival.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
10 to 1, here's Bonzo. Hi, Bonzo.
Hello, yes. Well, I mean, Brian Stoll earlier was saying, why can't we get people, you know, broader range of quality of people to stand for election, both at local and national level? And I think Tony has just answered why. Why would you put yourself to be everyone's whipping person for 5 years at a time? And possibly with, if you're looking for people of the quality that Brian Stoll was talking about, people who will be actually taking a reduction in their pay to actually have a typically 60-hour week. So if you look at that at an hourly rate, it's not exactly excessive. Also, Tony's view on this a bit inaccurate. As I recall, the new generation of MHKs and MLCs now do not have what will colloquially be termed as a gold-plated pension. it's money purchase with enhanced contributions. So that's one thing. And I think that happens to all new entrants into the civil service now. So the era of gold-plated pensions is fixed. Okay? And for the AI chap, well, you know, you have to pay the rate for the job. And AI is going to fundamentally affect everything on the Isle of Man, the economy, society, everything. It needs someone who really knows their onions and can work it all out. And those people are as rare as rocking horse manure at the moment. And you have to, and it's a seller's market, and they can charge what they want. And 100,000 without a relocation package or anything just won't cut the mustard.
Just going back to politicians then, do we look for people, do we look for, if, let's just say, if you're going to lower the remuneration package for politicians, does this mean that only rich people will do it because they can either do it after retirement or in their spare time?
Absolutely. Yes. You know, we'll go back to the sort of old businessman's club of the old House of Keys. No, and no, that would be a hugely backward step.
Just a quick one, Bonzo. If suddenly, because of the new tax regime, there's a troop, a queue of rich people wanting to leave the Isle of Man, what should be done?
Firstly, I'm not quite sure whether that really is what's going to happen. I think a lot of their dissatisfaction is much more about the fact that if they want to drive their Ferrari, they have to then pay £3,000 for the repair bill because the roads are so rubbish that they can't get on an aircraft or a boat to get on and off the island. Like, basic things like that, I think, are the main drivers for people wanting to go. And that's what I've heard anyway.
All right. Thanks, Bonzo. We appreciate it.
Bye.
Good to hear from you. After Man in Line, we're looking at the architectural merits of the Camera Obscura. That's it for Open Line today. Back tomorrow, it's a constituency Man in Line. So Anne Corlett and Chris Thomas of Douglas Central. Of course, Chris Thomas was elected in a by-election when it was the old Douglas West. So anything, if you're in and around Douglas Central, if you're a constituent, you want to challenge them, talk to them on anything, then by all means, text, email, call on WhatsApp tomorrow, or call the answer phone on 682-631, or email maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Chris Quirk on the phones today.
W-I-N-T.
60 years serving you as the nation's station. This is Manx Radio.
Peter, what's Kelly's eye looking at today?
Well, it's dark in here today, David. It's never been anywhere so dark. We're actually in a building, but it's a building that's open to the public, so they can come in the dark as well. But look in front of us there. There is light, and not only is there light, there's a picture. There's a man bending down, yeah, taking a photograph.
He's taking a photograph, and there's a lady just going out of the scene as well.
That's right, because
there are some steps there we've just walked
there's
down.
There's somebody else.
Yeah.
They're coming this
Somebody's
way.
Somebody's coming in.
Oh, we better keep moving.
Yes, keep moving.
We're in the Camera Obscura, and we're looking at the first picture, which shows the steps going up to those new apartments called The Point. Nice pine tree there, and it just looks like a still picture, but look here, the grass is moving.
Yes.
Blowing, and that lady's moving, and we move on to the next picture.
Flowers are moving.
The first couple of pictures are a little bit dark because the sun's moving behind the head now, mm-hmm. And so it's like with your camera looking into the sun. When we get round, you'll find the pictures improve greatly. Now here we can see, because there's actually wildflowers. Now just look at them, they're dancing.
They are.
Dancing for these white flowers. Up there's a seat. Now when you're outside, you can't see the seat because it's high up. But when people go up, they'll come and they'll sit there, and they don't realise that they can be spotted, you know.
That's right. Well, that's what used to happen with the courting couples, isn't it, I think, in the old days.
Now what you'll find is all of a sudden, and it probably won't work now, a seagull will come swooping down.
Yes.
And that's when you realise it's real. And it's surprising. Some people actually duck when it comes down towards them because they really think it's going to come right across.
Yeah. How many pictures have we got? Of course, it depends on how many lenses, doesn't
well,
it?
Yeah, there's 11. Now here's this is the real good one. This is the lighthouse, which, of course, stands out so well.
Yes.
Bright lighthouse against the blue sky.
Superbly clear, this, isn't it?
It is. And then the lifeboat, the lighthouse cottages are down there. The gorse in the foreground, as it gets nearer to us, is a little bit out of focus. But you see, you can't focus these. They're it's just a fixed magnifying glass.
Yes.
Now, if you lean forward, David, and look up, you'll actually see. Can you see it?
I can. Yes.
Yeah. You can.
That's
you can
where
see,
the
see the mirror.
That's
and,
what the mirror
all
is,
it
yes.
Is the mirror is reflecting that picture down onto the. No, there's a seagull.
Ah, yes.
There he goes.
He's gone right across and past the lighthouse.
Ah.
Part of island life for 60 years. This is your Manx Radio.